This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from yesterday. May corn was down 2.5 to 360. July corn was down 2.5 to 368.5. And September corn was down 2.25 to 377.25. May soybeans were down 0.25 to 898.75. July beans were down 0.25 as well to 911.75. And August beans were down 0.5 to 917.75. On to Chicago wheat for May, that was down 2.5 cents to 465.25. July wheat was down 1 penny to 468.75. And September wheat stayed steady at 477.25. Soybean meal for May was up $1.20 to 309.20. July bean meal was up $1.20 as well to 312.90. And August bean meal was also up $1.20 to 314.60. Finally, soybean oil for May was down 27 to 28.88. July bean oil was down 28 to 29.20. And August bean oil was down 26 to 29.36. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Monday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are steady to a couple cents lower on Monday afternoon as traders wait for tomorrow's USDA supply and demand report. In northern Western Illinois, country grain yields quoted shell corn bids steady to down 2 cents at 318 to 347. Soybean bids were steady at 807 to 848. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 to 3 cents at 329 to 345. Soybean bids were steady to a penny lower at 835 to 860. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady at 327 to 358. Soybean bids were a penny lower at 831 to 862. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady at 864 to 879. Basis was steady at 35 under to 20 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $287.20 to $299.20 a ton, up $1.20 a ton with basis unchanged at $2,210 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 3 cents lower at $3.45 to $3.64, with basis steady at $1,500 to $4 over the May. Illinois river barge floating elevators coated to producer corn bids mostly steady at $3.49 to $3.55, with basis up $2 to $3 at $1,100 to $5 under the May. Soybeans ended up 1 to 3 cents at 8.53 to 8.59, with basis up 1 to 3 at 46 under to 40 under the May. New crop wheat prices were down a penny at 4.39 to 4.59, with basis unchanged at 30 under to 10 under the July. East St. Louis barge floating terminal always placed their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents lower at 3.70 to 3.72. Their soybean prices were steady to 2 cents lower. Quotations at 8.76 to 8.77. Soft wheat closed down 3 cents at 496 to 497, and Milo ended the day 5 cents lower at 377 to 378. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 334 to 359, soybeans at 847 to 877. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 346 to 360, soybeans at 866 to 889. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 324 to 364, soybeans at 858 to 889, and June-July wheat at 442 to 474. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for April were down 25 cents to 125.80. June live cattle were up 22 cents to 120.57, and August live cattle were up 35 cents to 117.72. On to feeder cattle for April, they were up 57 cents to 146.72. May feeders were up 35 cents to 150.57, and August feeders were up 97 cents to 157.70. Finally, lean hogs for April were down 42 cents to 78.60. May lean hogs were down $1.55 to 89.45. And June lean hogs were down 82 cents to 98.15. And now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 38 cents lower, in a range of $67 to $78, with a weighted average carcass price of $75.40. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were a dollar lower, with good demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $36 to $43, 4 to 5 weighted $39 to $45, 5 to 6 weighted $42 to $47, and over 600 pounds $45 to $49. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were firm, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $46 to $56. Receipts for our Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $20,925. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases traded at $124 to $129. Choice heifers on a live basis traded at $124 to $127.50. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established, 191 loads traded. Calculations are 200-pound pork carcass was $83.29, which is $1.45 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses were $228.67, which is $1.74 higher, while select carcasses are $220.88, which is 60 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 120,000 compared to 115,000 last week and 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 475,000 compared to 476,000 last week and 451,000 one year ago. A recap of the Greenville Livestock Auction special GLA VAC feeder cattle sale for Saturday, April 6th. Had receipts of 1,261. Feeder steers, large ones and twos, 24 head, average weight of 377 with an average price of $195. 89 head, average weight of 473 with an average price of $192. 67 head with an average weight of 573 with an average price of $183. 23 head with an average weight of 662 with an average price of $157. 91 head with an average weight of 826 pounds for an average price of $136. Feeder Holstein steers large threes, 23 head with an average weight of 375 with an average price of $135. 31 head of average weight of 475 with $127. 31 head, average weight of 582 with an average price of $114. Feeders, heifers, large ones and twos, 36 head, an average weight of 379 pounds with an average price of $169. 87 head, average weight of 467 at $169. 47 head, average weight of 568 pounds, $153. 17 head, average weight of 677 pounds at $130. 58 head, average weight of 775 pounds at $129. 46 head at 896 pounds for an average price of $119. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show. It is 6:18 on this Tuesday morning. Part 2 of the Morning Ag Show is next. 6:20 on this Tuesday morning, Part 2 of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by the Litchfield National Bank, by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville, and by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. Now with Part 2 of the Morning Ag Show, once again we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York has advanced the idea of a Green New Deal, but at this point, a lot of her Democratic colleagues are reluctant to publicly support it, at least when it comes to an actual vote. Colin Woodall, chief lobbyist for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says the vote this last week in the U.S. Senate on the Green New Deal was almost laughable.
It was a comical vote because you had the Green New Deal. It was put on the calendar for a vote, and as Senator Cornyn so adeptly said, any senator would celebrate if the majority leader came and said they were going to get a vote on their bill. But the Democrats didn't see that way, and even though this is one of their premier issues for this particular Congress, they all decided to come out and vote against the motion to even consider their new Green New Deal resolution. So a lot of shenanigans, but I think it also shows or spotlights the fact that Green New Deal's not ready for prime time.
Woodall says the plan attacked animal agriculture, but the industry stepped forward, strengthening its credibility.
I believe that they expected it to gain a lot more traction here in the United States than it did, but that is because the industry was able to jump in and get the facts out there ahead of time. And this is a great example of where the checkoff work done by NCBA and also the policy work done by NCBA were able to come together and ensure that the facts were truly out there. And because of that, this really did fall flat. But it shows that the issue is going to remain, and we're going to fight this from here on out.
Again, that's NCBA's Colin Woodall. Farmers appear set for a familiar weather event this week, as forecasters say another bomb cyclone or similar event will hit parts of the Great Plains and Midwest. Numerous weather forecasters now say models are showing 1 to 2 feet of snow, if not more, in the northern reaches of the Missouri River Basin, the same area that flooded in March from a bomb cyclone event. The storm this week overlaps areas hit last month, but the bulk of the predicted heavy snowfall is expected further north into South Dakota and Minnesota. The so-called cyclone, which presents a unique shape clearly defined on weather maps, is expected to form Wednesday afternoon. The storm creates a swirling air pattern and includes conditions that allow for significant precipitation. However, forecasters say round two should not be as disastrous as the first bomb cyclone in March, as spring seasonal conditions are limiting the potential for the storm. Still, the storm signals more flooding along the Missouri and Mississippi. The National Weather Service last month predicted flooding to last into July. Continuing on in Ag News on this Tuesday morning, we have the latest crop progress and condition reports for the state of Illinois from last week. There were 1.1 days suitable for field work during the week ending April 7th. Statewide, the average temperature was 48.4 degrees, or 1.1 degree above normal. Precipitation averaged 43/100ths of an inch, or 32/100ths inches below normal. Topsoil moisture was rated at 46% adequate and 54% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 54% adequate and 46% surplus. Winter wheat headed was at 1% compared to 3% last year and the 5-year average of 1%. Winter wheat condition was rated at 5% very poor, 8% poor, 32% fair, 50% good, and 5% excellent. Moving on to local ag news this morning, a new class of soybean experts is ready to provide local recommendations to help Illinois soybean producers increase yields and profit while minimizing their environmental impact. The 2019 CCA Soy Envoys, which are supported by the Illinois Soybean Association Checkoff Program, will contribute actionable information, advice, and in-season updates via ilsoyadvisor.com to assist Illinois producers with their goals. One of those individuals within the new class of experts is Dave Raw of Hillsboro. Raw specializes in soil fertility, site-specific fertilizer application, and soil management, and is a certified professional soil scientist, a certified professional soil classifier, and a 4R certified crop advisor. Raw is a graduate of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, with a bachelor's degree in agronomy. After a 25-year career with the National Resource Conservation Service in Illinois and Missouri, he began consulting in 2005. He is a current partner with RPM Soils, LLC, and resides in Hillsboro. Producers can apply for assistance through the Environmental Quality Incentives Program to implement practices such as drainage water management, denitrifying bioreactors, saturated buffers, cover crops, nutrient management, and no-till. The project focus is to improve water quality in the Upper Macoupin Creek watershed located in portions of Macoupin County. The NRCS RCPP funding is available to Macoupin County producers whose land is located in the Upper Macoupin Creek watershed. To take advantage of this conservation funding opportunity, interested producers should submit applications by cutoff dates of next Friday, April 19th, and May 17th, 2019. However, the NRCS encourages producers to submit applications at any time to the NRCS Carlinville field office because they're accepted throughout the year. To apply, eligible producers should contact the NRCS Carlinville field office in Carlinville by calling them at 854-2626, extension 3. In livestock news, two livestock associations in Illinois are partnering to cultivate youth who may be interested in the respective industry. Together, the Illinois Pork Producers Association and the Illinois Beef Association are planning an educational event for June of this year. Formerly known as the Illinois Pork Leadership Institute, the Illinois Livestock Leadership Institute, or ILLI, is open to students ages 16 to 22 who are interested in agriculture. A total of 25 applicants will be accepted for the upcoming trip. This four-day trip will take place June 19th through 22nd of this year to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Each year, the location changes to allow for new scenery and tours. Topics covered during ILLI range from livestock production, promotion, and retail to agriculture communications and leadership. Tours confirmed for the trip include, but are not limited to, ABS Global, Morgan Myers, Johnsonville Sausage Plant, Larson Farms Cattle Field Lot, and a swine vet lab with Dr. Wesley Lyons. Any students who have a passion for agriculture and interest in the livestock industry are invited to apply. The application is a short form and essay prompt. It can be found at ilpork.com. The application is due to the IPPA office by May 15th. Accepted students will be notified within a week of the deadline. And finally, on this Monday morning, with spring upon us, it's time to be on the lookout for farmers who will be soon occupying our local country roads. In a conversation with Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association, we talked about how local infrastructure may take a beating this year from farm traffic and how a new infrastructure bill is so desperately needed.
State law allows local highway commissioners, township road commissioners, county highway engineers, municipalities, allows those local units of government to do seasonal posting. In other words, seasonal weight restrictions on those roads. Anybody who lives out in a rural road, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This time of the year, freeze-thaw cycle, it murders a road. I mean, the oil and chip roads, they fall apart, you know. Even good paved roads, you look at them, you could tell that, and the problem is you get the moisture underneath it, and the moisture, you know, that water that seeps into the pavement freezes at night. During the day, it thaws, so back and forth. All that's doing is pushing and tearing up against the pavement, tearing it right back to gravel. And so the seasonal road postings, which can run from, you know, January to April, January 15th, April 15th, some areas are different. Farther northern Illinois, it's different. But, you know, those are the postings that we need to adhere to. I mean, anybody who lives on that road knows that. They don't want to tear the road up. And the problem is, you know, the school buses have to go down those roads, you know, some roads. And unfortunately, school buses put more pressure per square inch because of the way they're built than most other vehicles. But, you know, they've got to go down those roads. And so we're seeing, especially this year, because we've had some pretty drastic weather conditions this year, we're seeing a lot of those roads torn up, which just goes right back into the saying that got to make sure that enough of the transportation funding out of the infrastructure bill goes to the local roads. And, you know, it's one of those situations where I think they feel like, and I'm sure the township road commissioners and these guys feel like poor stepchildren, you know, because they had been left out of the last transportation plan. And, you know, these roads are farm to market. I mean, this is where you get the grain in, the livestock out, you get your inputs in, You got to have them. I mean, it's part of the Illinois economy, and we got to be able to support them. At least support the infrastructure and don't let them deteriorate anymore. Pavement's one thing, but the real problem we have are bridges. You know, these bridges already have weight restrictions on them, and you know the laundry list of bridges that need to have work on them is a mile long. This is another thing to think about, and really we hope the legislators are thinking about it, because it's not all big flyover bridges over the interstate that are the problem. It's also the those little bridges that are on the county and township roads, and you know most of that is dictated by the counties or townships and municipalities. But they depend on funding for a good, you know, for a part of that and a good part of it.
I know of a few bridges in the local area and where I live that are, they've had weight restrictions, and here this last year they've docked that down even more. It used to be about 20 tons. Some bridges are now down to 15 or 10 tons. So it's definitely alive and well in this area.
Every week, Illinois Department of Transportation posts what they call their weekly restriction list. Weekly restriction list all the roads and bridges that either have lane restrictions or weight restrictions or bridges, the same thing. Every week there's new bridges on there and you know, new pavement where they're lowering the allowable weight on those roads. And every week, you know, there's more and more on there. I mean, things like culverts fall apart. All of a sudden, you know, a culvert or a bridge that can handle 80,000, it's down onto 40,000. Or even worse, you get situations where some bridges are getting restricted, and then you know they got to reroute a school bus because the school bus can't go over the bridge or the culvert. So yeah, I mean this is, you know, it's the nitty gritty. That's the best way to put it. When it starts affecting your lifestyle and affecting the way that you live and work, then it's definitely it's the hard reality that we got to deal with right now.
With these roads and everything too, even with seasonal weight restrictions and then a little bit past those seasonal weight restrictions, we'll have farmers jumping right into the field when it ever decides to dry out a little bit.
If it ever dries out. Now, you know, depending on where you're at in central Illinois, it may dry out quicker. You know, some sandier soil back, you know, farther west and northwest of here. It won't take too much for some of those guys, you know, depending on what happens with the flooding, you know, for some of those guys to get in. You know, I drove over the 270 bridge yesterday and coming over from the airport, and that river's up pretty high, and some of that back area they're getting some flooding, so it's going to be a while in some areas before they get anywhere near able to get into that. But there are going to be people out there doing preparations. They're, you know, they're hauling stuff out to the fields and stuff, getting ready for it. So just, you know, it's always a friendly reminder to look out for that equipment. You know, it's going to be out there quick. It's going to be slow-moving trucks or what have you, and getting the tractors out there and all the equipment. You know, when they start tilling, it's going to be crazy because, you know, the clock starts ticking about right now. You know, people, you know, it's not uncommon March, you know, middle of March to, if it's dry, you can get in there, but definitely not this year. I mean, there's a lot of standing water, and it's going to be a while. But when they do, it's going to be quite the chase. So you got to look out for that equipment that's going to be out there. And with the time change and everything, you know, that means that they may be out there early. You may be out there early, and it's still dark, but they may be out there too. So just be careful. It's that time of the year.
Exactly. And too, last fall, a lot of inputs go on after harvest. Well, it was so wet right after harvest, during harvest for some, that a lot of those inputs didn't get put on last fall. So this season is especially going to be a fast-paced, urgent season. So
yeah, it's going to be quick because, as you said, kind of got shut out a lot of places last fall. A lot of stuff that could have been done last fall never got done. And it just compounds the amount of traffic on the roads. And, you know, it's not just on the, you know, you're going to see them on the, you know, state highways coming across. You're going to see them everywhere. And just be careful. Remember, they're slow-moving vehicles, and you come upon them real quick. You know, we've seen accidents in central Illinois in the last year or two that were caused by, you know, people not recognizing the slow-moving emblem. That there's been some fatalities, and so we'll watch that real carefully. And again, you know, the same thing when you're going down those local roads too. You know, it's the gravel now, they're torn up. I mean, you can lose control real quick. So
need to pay attention.
Yes, we do. It's that time of the year.
And again, that was Don Schaefer, Executive Vice President with the Midwest Truckers Association. For this Tuesday morning, April 9th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.